traveling the world, searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, equestrians from all over the world. It's St. Patrick's Day. We're having a good time here at the farm, enjoying the horse industry of all breeds. Hope you're doing the same. Hope you're having a safe St. Patrick's Day. It's going to be a great show today. We're talking about a lot of things. Want to go over something real quick with you here. The 4/24/23 show, which is a week from today, is going to be a very, very good show. We're going to have three different interviews, live interviews. We're going to talk about Last Call, the April 30th sale at Keeneland, and we're going to have the OBS sale of two-year-olds in training. We're going to have those results, and we're going to talk about opening day at Keeneland. We're going to talk about opening day at Churchill Downs, and we're going to talk about the three-day Rolex, and we're going to talk about the Global Champions Tour in Miami, and we'll have Arlie back with us, so she'll be talking little bit about what it's going to be like to ride in it. She'll be riding in the GLT, which is the Global Champions Tour at Miami. Then we're going to have the preview of the Louisiana Derby, the Arkansas Derby, the Jeff Luby Stakes, and the Santa Anita Derby. Those are pretty much the last four shots to get into the Kentucky Derby. We'll also mention a little bit, talk a little bit about the Bluegrass Stakes that'll be coming up. And then the last shot to get into the Derby will be the Lexington Stakes. That'll be all next month from Keeneland, the Bluegrass and the Lexington Stakes. That's going to be interesting to meet there at Keeneland. Got a lot of good horses that are pointing for the races there. And literally the 30 days of Keeneland and the first 10 days of Churchill, tremendous stakes cards that they have there. Horses from all over the world will be there, and it'll be interesting to see what that's going to be like. And then we're going to see who's coming from Europe and who's coming from Japan. That's going to be one of the that's the big question right now. Is anybody coming from Europe or Japan? But we'll know next week on the 24th. Then we're going to talk about the Derby Dozen. And then we're going to go and talk specifically about Churchill Downs in the 10 days leading up to the Derby at Churchill. And we're going to talk about Dawn at the Downs. That's a real good program they have there. And then you'll be able to see this live on IENTV.org. It's the Morning Works. The 10 days prior to the Derby, we'll have the Morning Works every morning at 7 o'clock a.m. There, and then we'll talk about Derby Week, and that'll be an interesting show next week. It's going to run pretty good. And also, now we'll get into today's show, and some of the things we're going to talk about today is what really makes the horse industry unique and different. You know, there's something where, you know, people have money in the horse business. Jim Israe, he was the owner of the NFL Indianapolis Colts, renowned collector of pop culture and American history memorabilia, has acquired a saddle on Secretariat when he won the American Triple Crown 50 years ago in 1973. So he bought the saddle. He bought the saddle, and that was just amazing, you know, to see somebody come in and, you know, they have these huge, you know, things that they do and buy and everything. You know, I just can't believe the horse business like it's getting. They said it's been put together very, very unique program that he's put together. Last year, the collection that includes 80 items was valued at $100 million. It's just unbelievable. It's some of these collections when they get together, you know, how the the value of them goes, to get things like that. So, you know, you never can tell when you go to the racetrack, hey, pick up a horseshoe. It could have been off a secretariat or, you know, a program that had, litigate this year's Derby champion, hopefully. So, you know, those are the kind of things that you do in the horse business. You just go out and you try to, get memorabilia. And like I said, Mr. Israel from the Colts, he bought it. It didn't say how much he paid for it, but, he got it. And it's a collector's dream to get, unique items like that. Now, if you guys are out on the weekend and you're in the Ocala area, there's a horse show. It's called Live Oak International. It's a great horse show. You can get down and you can mix with all the horse people, and it's right there on a nice facility. We have the Peterson and Smith Equine Hospital Intermediate Driving Dressage class. That's at 8:30 a.m. on the 16th, which was yesterday. And also, we're a little behind here. But they had the single horse, the single Paralympics, the pony pair, and the horse Paralympics. It was a nice show. I don't have the results in front of me yet, waiting for those to come in. We had the driving, FEI driving dressage. We had the horse team. We had pony team, horse single, pony pair, and horse pair. So when you go, you're going to see a good program. There you're going to see a lot of action, a lot of events. They literally cover from, from early in the morning. They start around 8:30 a.m. and they go all the way up until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's really nice because you can walk around, get up close and see how they saddle the horses and how they get them ready to go. And it's just really a good thing that they have there. That was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week that they had it. For example, we'll talk about Friday for like today. The driving dressage youth division. They have the Peterson and Smith Equine Hospital Intermediate Driving Dressage, the pony single. The mandatory jumping riders meeting, Great American Competitors Tent. You can go down and see what all they have to do. And then here at 3:45, they have the Class 3 CSI 14. It's a $55,000 Longines Grand Prix qualifier. So there's a lot of money being offered up here. My mind gets boggled when I just start seeing the money that's being offered at these show jumpers. And it's really something to go see. It's the Live Oak International in Ocala. That's really a nice facility, good things they have there. And, I was just thinking the other day, when I was a kid, we used to go out to Live Oak and, it's out on Southwest 110th Avenue in Ocala. And we used to go out there and think, man, this is out in the sticks. This is out in the country. There's, why are we coming out here for? It was just one of those things. But now it's just a beautiful area out there in Ocala. I just really like all areas of the horse industry. For example, the Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program, the TIP program, they call it, they decided to structure a program that would help these thoroughbred horses that get off the track. A lot of them retire from the track and they go out and there's really, they're just tossed out into a field. And after training and being competitive in their nature that they have, it was just tough on them just to be turned out in a field. So quite a few years ago, they started the TIP program, and they decided that they were going to start rehoming these horses, give them a second life. And they started out basically as just regular riding horses, and you know, people could trail ride with them and things of that nature. And then a group of people got together at the jockey club and said, there's got to be more than that for these horses to do. So they organized the Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program, short as TIP. And what they do is they create horse shows around just for the thoroughbreds. And for like, for example, in Maryland, they've got 121 shows that they have that are available for the TIP program. They have approved more than 6,700 awards and classes and more than 1,400 shows in 43 states and six Canadian provinces in 2023. So it just goes to show you, you know, that there's a lot of things out here for these horses to participate in. They have multiple discipline awards, including eventing, dressage, Western and English pleasure, ranch riding, hunter jumper, endurance, barrel racing, polo lacrosse. A full calendar of shows are available. You know, if you come to IAN, you'll be able to click onto it and see them. But it's amazing. Like, we've got 98 shows here in Florida, which is kind of disappointing because I thought we would have more than that, you know, here. Maryland's got 121 shows. You know, Kentucky's got 37. Illinois's got 10. There's 22 in Canada, plus. There's 63 in New York. It's just amazing to see these horses that are coming around out of the program. So, you know, it's something good. You can go to them in your area. Sometimes there's not a lot of horses at the TIP show. You know, there's only eight or nine, that type of thing. And then you get up into Maryland, sometimes you might have 200 in a class. It really gets big. You know, so that's what I like. It. I can go anywhere and see a horse show. I can see horses anywhere I go, everywhere I go. So we are now going to talk about my favorite. It's called Last Call. And Last Call is our show about horses being sold. And the reason we call it The Last Call, because we don't know whether it's going to come from the internet, whether it's going to come from somebody in at the actual sales, or come from the telephone. The way electronics are today, people can buy horses from all over the world, and you can participate live into it, which is, you know, every horseman's dream, you know, to be the guy that put the bid on the $1 million horse. You know, that's what's exciting about Last Call, and you don't know who it's going to come from. But, for example, like today on our website, we have the OBS March sale. It's the two-year-old and training sales. And so I was pretty interested to see what happened today, which we have. It's on there now, and it's live on our website. They have hip number 625 through hip number 833. That'll be there today. And you can go to it and you can watch it. It started at 8 a.m. this morning. And what in training sale is, or under tax sale, they go out and they work 3/8 of a mile. They're trained up to 3/8 of a mile. And hopefully, you know, they're going to put in a good mile and you'll see how they work. And then the next few days you can go and see how they came out of the work, and then, you know, they have a sale. So what they did is they started on March 14th this month, and the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, they had 833 horses go out to the OBS training facility, and they worked their 3/8 of a mile for the different people, prospective buyers that might want to see them. And they were all alone on the track. Each horse individually came out and did his 3/8 of a mile. They'd call out his number, and they'd go through, and he'd work the 3/8 of the mile to the wire, and you could see what he was like and how he galloped out, and it's really exciting. Then now, the best part of the sale is once you've seen them, you know, do the under tax sale, under tax demonstration, on the 20th, the 21st and 22nd, they come back and they sell the horses. They go under the auction, hammer to be sold. They have on March 20th, hip number 1 through 278. On 21st, it's 279 through 556. And on March 22nd, it's 557 through 833. And you can go up to the sales and you can watch and see how they come out. And you can look at the times that they had and compare them to others that were in the under tax sale and see how they compare and see what kind of price they have. There are some really good horses in there. There were some good horses in there this morning, as you say. And, you know, it looks like the best may have been saved for last. But you'll see those today and see how they go. And if you go to the website, you can see all the results and see the commentary of what's going on and how the sale's going to go. So that's a barometer on how our sales go. Now, they just had the Magic Million sales in Australia, and they were buying horses right and left. And so I kind of use that as an indicator to see how everything's going to go worldwide. Now, most of the horses that are bought in Australia stay in Australia. They don't come out. But it's a good economic indicator of how the horse business is worldwide, because each country has their own, standards and their own races and everything. But for the most part, you know, since our business depends on gambling, gambling's gambling, and it's good in Australia, it's good in New Zealand, it's good in Europe, and it's good here in the United States. And so the sales usually are a good indication of what's to come. And the sales were good at the Magic Millions. The sales are good at OBS, and we'll see what happens with the sale that'll be coming up at Keeneland on April the 30th. That's an in-training sale there in itself. A lot of Group 1 winning families headlined a Keeneland sale in France. There were some nice horses that were sold there. The dollars are there. They're buying right and left, you know, these horses. And that's just an amazing indicator to what's going on. Now, a lot of horses come over from Europe and France, but their circuit's so good over there, and the money is pretty decent. It's not like it is here in the United States, you know, but it's pretty good, you know, for Europe, and they got people buying. And that was the main thing, you know, that they were looking at. But like I said, the Ocala breeder sales, the sales were up. It really looks good for them. You know, I'm getting really excited about, you know, just the horse industry as a whole. And we've got so many people that are coming and doing their thing, you know, in the horse business. That's what this really tells me, that something's good going to happen with us this year here with the horses. And leading into next year and you know, on down the road, that's what's going to be good for us. So, you know, hey, get in the business. That's what you got to do, is get in the business. Okay. Now, we're going to kind of start talking about April and May. And I'll tell you why we're going to start talking about it. Because it's the spring is here. We got a lot of things that are going on, especially like in Lexington. In Lexington, we've got the Rolex 3-day event coming at the Kentucky Horse Park. We've got the Keeneland sales, Keeneland Horses Racing Age sales set for April 30th, the closing night at Keeneland there of the races, and then Churchill opens, you know, the next day, and get ready for the Kentucky Derby. But the horse industry is so important to what we do here in this country. In Europe and Australia, New Zealand, the horse industry is kind of like their heritage, their culture. Every family literally has had somebody, you know, in the horse business doing that for a living, and a lot of families still do that. Now, we have that here in the United States, but this is the problem. We don't have the family, you know, takeovers, like the farms being passed from grandfather to grand, you know, to son to grandson, you know, that type of thing. Not like they do in Europe and New Zealand and Australia. But it's still, you know, there's still some places, you know, like Claiborne Farm is one. It's being passed down, you know, been like that for over 100 years. And so, and the reason a lot of people don't get into it, but, you know, take it, that are born into it, and take it another step forward is because it's very difficult. It was always tough to make money. It was a tough deal. But now everything is going good. You know, people are buying horses, they're selling horses, they're racing horses, you know, and it's really good. You know, so that's what this time of year is all about. You get a good showcase of all the horses and all the breeds and what they're doing this year. Now, here at Wellington, they had a real successful sale. They had a lot of, they had, I think it was like 15 or 16 show horses that actually went in under the hammer and went to sale. And the sale was good. And I always like it when you have an event, you know, whether like polo, for example, or eventing, you know, or show horse, show jumping, when that event puts horses under the hammer and puts them into a sale. I like that. That's good for the business because usually you get a group of, at all breeds, you'll get a group of people that come in that are going to get into the horse business. You know, and for the first time ever. And so they kind of get in and, you know, they might not be spending a lot of money, but they're spending money and they're buying these horses. And then you've got the, you know, the regulars and the established horsemen that come in and spend a lot of money. So it's kind of, you know, helping our whole industry as we go along, you know, and that's what I like about the horse business. Now you can always find your niche somewhere. You know, it might not be a huge, you know, thing for you, to do. I'm involved in a syndicate of two horses and unfortunately, show you how a roller coaster you get on. They were young horses, two and 3 year olds. And the two came out and they went, we had a horse that won at Gulfstream, on his second time, on his first time out. Then he had a third, and then we sent him up to Keeneland in Lexington last fall, and he winds up at Lexington. You know, so it was nice. Here we've got three races underneath him. He's got two wins and a third. So, you know, things are starting to look promising for us going into the winter and looking forward to next spring. And same with our filly. She was a little bit, she's kind of small. You know, she was catching up and she started doing real good. So we took her, ran her at Gulfstream and she had a second, and a second, and then she wins. So the other day in training, you know, we're sitting there thinking like, oh man, you know, this is going to be nice going to Kentucky with two nice horses that'll be competitive at Keeneland and at Churchill during the spring meet. And that's every horse in the stream is to be in there, at least somewhere in there. If you're not in the Derby, you know, you're on the undercards. And that's what was exciting. But unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, the filly, she was, got what they call a slab fracture. It was a fracture of the knee. And so we had to take her out of training. We sent her to Rude and Riddle up in Lexington from Gulfstream. And she was operated on, and they expect a full recovery from her. She's doing real good. We see her every day, and they're really, Rude and Riddle's the best. Dr. Bramley's just the best up there. And then the colt, we ran him last week, and he had he got disinterested. And that's the only way I can tell it. Some people say, oh, well, maybe he bled, or, you know, well, he did stumble coming out of the gate. But he got into the flow, and he just got disinterested. It was just like, you know, he was with all the guys, and he was running, you know, and he didn't go forward. He didn't go backward. You know, he was there. So we can't figure that out. And that's going to be an interesting scenario to see next time he runs if he does the same thing. And I hope he's not a horse that bounces on us, you know, and comes back and runs good and then runs bad, runs good and then runs bad. You know, I don't want to see that, you know. So, but that's, like I said, it's all part of the horse industry. You know, and whether you're a show horse, polo, standard breds, you know, quarter horses, the horse industry is great to be in. You know, you find your niche and, you know, where it fits good for you. And it's just, it's exciting, you know, to get the whole family and friends involved in it. And I'll be honest with you, this is the best part about the whole horse industry. Everybody always asks me, Scott, what's the best part of the horse industry? What do you think? I said, this is what I tell them. I said, what I like about the horse industry is there's so many things to do with it. You know, you can be involved with the horses. You can work 7 days a week with the horses 24/7, or you can do like a lot of people do. And they can plan like their spring schedule over. And like I was just talking about the 3-day Rolex and the Kentucky Derby, you know, and that type of thing. Starting on April 27th through May 3rd, they have what they call breakfast buffet available for Dawn at the Downs. And it's a Kentucky Derby week. You can go out and you can watch, you can eat breakfast there at Churchill. You can watch the Kentucky Derby and the Oaks Contenders train on the track. You can be talking with experts on the commentary on what they do and how they do it in the morning. And it's really a good thing to go and see. You know, you can get up close and in person. You can see the outriders and the ponies. The kids love that. You know, it's good food, good time. You can do that. And so I tell you, I get fat that week, that's for sure, because all the food that they have available there, and it's great down-home southern cooking. It's just unbelievable. The Dawn at the Downs, they have dining also, April 30th and May 1st. So you can upgrade your Dawn at the Downs experience with a delicious buffet breakfast with Millionaire's Row. Now, Millionaire's Row is where all the celebrities go, all the owners go. It's the spot to be at on Derby Day, and it's really fantastic. Now, even though you're not going to be up there on Derby Day, you know, you're going to be on Millionaire's Row, and you're going to see what they go through and how they eat and what it looks like from their point of view when they're watching the Derby. So that's what Millionaire's Row is. It's something just to go see. You know, just to go see. Every time I go up there, a lot of times I'll have to take things up from the owners of our horses or the trainers, and I get to go up there briefly. And it's just amazing to see how, you know, some people live and enjoy the Derby. Usually I'm on the backside at the barn, you know, barbecuing hot dogs and chicken and ribs, you know, that type of thing. And so that's really interesting, you know, to do. But they have Dawn at the Downs is May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. You can go out there just about every day, you know, to see what all they have going on there. It's really good. And then at Churchill, what I like is they have a Twilight Racing on Thursday. Racing starts at 5 o'clock. Normally it's at 12:45, but they start at 5 o'clock, and that makes a nice evening, you know, to go out to the Derby. That starts on May 11th. That's a Thursday at 5 o'clock. It's a good way to lead into the weekend. Then on the 18th, they have the same thing again, Twilight Tuesday. Then they have Downs After Dark. The first race is at 6 o'clock. You know, it's really a good time to go to just to hang out. Good food, you know, good entertainment, you know, to go and see what all they have there. So, you know, the whole thing that we're trying to do here is get people interested into the horses. You don't have to know a lot about horses, you know, but you can go out and you can get some good entertainment, like the Derby Museum at Churchill is really a beautiful museum, very historical. You can actually walk up to and walk in the starting gate that that they use to start their horses with. And I tell you what, when you get in there, it really gives you a good perspective of, you know, what the horse racing business is like, because you see what the jockeys have to do when they come out of the gate and they spring the gate. And it's quite interesting. You know, you got to be a real athlete, you know, to do that. And it's just, you know, it's exciting. You can see races from back in the, you know, early 30s. They got a good video section there. They got a good good gift shop there. All kind of historical information there that you can see. You can see the Garden of Roses and the lilies that they use for the Oaks and the Derby. You know, it's just, and it kind of just gives you the whole gist of Derby week in one room. You'll be in there 2 hours with no problem at all. They got a great gift shop there too, so that you can go see. And like we were talking about earlier about the horses and the horse business being good, this year we had Triple Crown nominees, which is completely different from the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont, because those are individual races. But here, when you go to the Triple Crown, you nominate to all three of them. And it's up 18%. It's up 18% to 369 horses have been nominated to the Triple Crown. And that means that they'll be able to run in all three of the races, and providing, first of all, they have enough points to get into the Derby. But after that, you got the Preakness, and then you got the Belmont. And that's up 18%. So that just goes to tell you a little bit, you know, about how well the business is going, you know, the purse money and everything. It's just something that you don't see. They had 57 more horses this year nominated than they did last year. And that was just, you know, really exciting for the business as a whole, you know, to see people nominated. For example, Spencer Farm in Lexington, they nominated 19 horses this year. And so, you know, when you start looking at, you know, people nominating that kind of, you know, horse, you know, quality is there. There were 3,550 highest public auction purchase was, let's see here, Mid-Atlantic two-year-old sale. It's just, you know, it goes and goes and goes. And it's really good, you know, to see that with what all we have here, you know, in the States. And again, you know, it's all about the economy. You know, the economy's back. They're going good. You know, it's just a lot of people buying, you know, selling horses. It's good. But again, what I like about the horse business is always something to do. You have, like, Derby week. You have a Kentucky Derby week, 10 days, you know. You got the Preakness. They have their week-long celebration. You got the Belmont. Now, like this weekend, we got coming up here on April 1st. We've got the Arkansas Derby. We got the Louisiana Derby. We got the Florida Derby. We got a lot of good races coming up here, and those are all point races for the Derby, because this literally, the week coming up next week, will be literally the last chance to get Derby points. So we'll pretty much know when the Derby field is set on April the 1st. We'll pretty much know who's going to be in the Derby and where they're going. We'll know if Japan's Mandarin Hero, if he's going to do anything. He's coming over for the Santa Anita Derby. And that's going to be an interesting measure of the horses that are coming out of Japan. And we've got horses that will be coming over from Europe to see what's going on with them. But there's so many things in this business, it's hard to seem to describe them. What you can do and where you can go. And like I said, you don't have to be a horse person to enjoy some of these things. Like Derby Week, they got parades, and they got balloon races, boat races, the big steamboat races. You know, it's a festival. And that's what the horse business has always been about. A lot of these horse shows that we have, like the three-day Rolex in Lexington at the end of April, that's like a festival, to go to. Up in Maryland, the Preakness, that's like a festival to go to. There's so much to do in the Baltimore, area. Same thing with Belmont. There's so much to do, Belmont Week and, in the city and everywhere. It's really interesting to go to. There's a lot of things that you can do, there with that. And same thing with like Devon in Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful time of year. They get some of the best horse shows in the world there. It's really good too. Go out to the Hamptons. Hampton's got a lot of good horse shows and polo all summer long. There's just so much to do, and you don't have to be a horseman. You can get out there and really enjoy it, to see what's going on. So now we're going to get a little into the how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. Undefeated Arabian Knight is off the Kentucky Derby trail, and this horse was a good horse. I'm telling you, he was in Bob Baffert's stable, and then they had to transfer him over to Tim Yackerton to see. Of course, Bob still has his issues with Kentucky and racing, so they're trying to work that out. But they had to the 28th of February to move the horses that Bob had into other trainers. And Tim Yackerton used to be an assistant trainer for Bob, and so he kind of took him over. But they had him training, and he just wasn't training very well. And so they're trying to figure out what it was, and they're just going to let him grow up a little bit and turn him out. Figure that's what they didn't want to damage him any more than he's been. Not saying that he's been damaged, but he's just young and he's undefeated. He knows what it's all about. He's a good horse. You might come back and see him at the Traverse Stakes in August. See what happens. Todd Pletcher, they came out last week. The Tampa Bay Derby was coming around, and he had a good run in the Tampa Bay Derbies. He's won six of them. And so it was interesting to see, how the Tampa Bay Derby was going to come out. Because now we're getting to refining all the races and getting ready to go, to see who's going to be in the Kentucky Derby. And everybody's like desperately trying to get in, to get their points to get into the Derby. And like we were talking about before in previous weeks, there was a lot of things that, would happen, like Arabian Knight. He just needs to grow. They pulled him out, and he was literally one of the favorites, to win the Derby. But they were thinking of the horse, and they did the right thing. And so like we were talking about, we're sitting here looking at Hot Springs, Arkansas. We're looking at all the different races that were coming up. And lo and behold, what happened? Rain, mud, snow, weather. Tracks were bad. Out in California, they had to readjust some races because of the rain and the wind. Now, Hot Springs, Arkansas, has been nothing but rain pretty much all winter long. New Orleans, a lot of rain. A lot of different things, had happened. And so all the trainers are starting to scratch their head. Well, should we go ahead and run in the mud? What should we do? Should we hold off for another race? And so it appeared that a lot of them had held off a little bit. So we had the Tampa Bay Derby coming up. It was a $400,000 race. It was a tough race. It was a grade three. And I'm telling you what, it was loaded. We had a total in a race of 12 horses, certainly one scratch out there. But we had good trainers in there. We had Mark Casey, Billy Mott, Ian Hardy, Todd Pletcher had two in here, Sacco, Mark Cassie had another one, and it was good. It was a good race, I'm telling you. It was a good race. And, the interesting part about it is to show you where you're going at with these horses. You get them in there, and if you win a race, is it too late to get enough points to get into the Derby? Where do you go with them? Well, out of nowhere, we're sitting here looking at it, and I'm hoping Todd Pletcher wins because he's at our Palm Beach Downs training facility, and he had a horse named Tappet Trice, and this horse was just, he just didn't know where he was going or what he was doing. He broke late. He came out, and, you said, what the heck? Does he know where he's going, what he's doing? What is the deal with this guy? And he got up there, and it looked like they were going to bury him. He was just not going to be able to, get it. He got bumped coming out of the gate on both sides. He was just racing as quick as he could. And all of a sudden, he kicks clear in the final furlong. He just lays it down and just goes past them and did it very easy. Did it very easy. So now Todd's got another horse, for the Kentucky Derby this year. Tappet Trice, he went by two. And it was an unusual race. I tell you what, they put a lot of people thinking, what in the heck are they going to do, with this horse? So it appears now that he will probably be going towards the Bluegrass Stakes, maybe. It's hard to say. They still got a couple of options to go. And if they go to the Bluegrass Stakes, then that's, right back up into Kentucky, and they don't need to be shipping him to New Orleans or to Hot Springs, for Arkansas Derby and the Louisiana Derby. It looks like the Bluegrass might be, on his front there. So that's what we were saying. You don't know what the heck these horses are going to do. Todd's got like three or four over there that he's looking at. And, of course, he's got the leader. He's got Forte. Forte is just, he's good. He is good. He had 106 equus-based speed rating and marginally ahead of his numbers from last year. So this horse is just, he's just got nothing but better. And he was off a long time. Coming out of Kentucky after winning the Breeders' Cup juvenile. He was off, and he come back just like he'd never missed a day of training. So that's what you don't know about these horses. Some horses can't take a long way off. And so now with Forte, they're pointing him towards the Florida Derby coming up in April. And through his training that he's been doing, he trains and runs every 5 or 6 weeks. They were spaced apart. So he knows what's going on. you know, that he knows what's going on. So that's going to be interesting to see. And here Todd's got the number one Derby horse, and then Tappet Trice that won the Tampa Bay Derby. He's at fourth. And so then, you know, I was going through here, and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you know, what's going on here? And I said, these horses are all legitimate, you know, horses. They all ran good. And so I'm thinking, you know, like, is there anybody coming from Japan or from Europe that's going to do, might, you know, do anything? And it doesn't look like it. You know, it looks like that we got about 12 to 15 horses here that could win the, you know, the Kentucky Derby this year. And so I am thinking that Pletcher has the right three that are going to go to the Derby this year. I think he just has the right three to go. There's a horse that he has called Litigate. That horse, it was like Tappet Trice. He comes out, and well, he was fired and ready to go when he started, when they started looking at him. And, you know, I wish that everybody could get behind the scenes and be able to see these horses that are coming up. You know, I just don't know. What we have left facing us here from March 25th on, we have the Louisiana Derby, we have the UAE Derby, we have the Jeff Ruby Stakes, the Florida Derby, the Arkansas Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes, Santa Anita Derby, and the Wood Memorial. And the last shot at getting any points for the Derby would be the Lexington Stakes at King on April the 15th. And so that's the races that are set up now are right there, you know, ready to go. And, you know, once you get your horse through that race, and if you come out good, then, you know, it's, you know, you know who's going to run. So what I'm saying is that on March 25th through April the 8th, We'll have the Derby field, and I'm saying that in all probability, after the 1st of April, we're going to know who's in the Derby, and then I don't think we'll see any more horses jumping into the Derby. I certainly don't see anything coming out of Japan, you know, or Europe. We have the one horse that's going out to run in the Santa Anita Derby. And I just don't really see that horse coming around, because when you ship over from Japan, the first 30 days, you know, they're in pretty good shape. But after that, you know, it takes a toll on them. All the jet lag, the changing the scenery, the water, the hay, everything, it's a whole different ball game then. And so I really don't see anything coming out of Europe or Japan, you know, to do that. The thing now is the word battle. Everybody's going to start criticizing and saying, you know, who's going to do what. You know, they've got enough information on them, and training-wise and race-wise, that, you know, now we let the experts take over. And that's what I like about horse racing. You can know the business inside and out. You could be the greatest handicapper in the world. You know, you could be all these things. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You come up and you pull in Arizona. You get beat. You know, and you're scratching your head and saying, how the heck that happened? Where'd that horse come from? And then you have the guys that say, oh, well, yeah, I know. I saw him in an allowance race, you know, back last fall. I knew he was going to be something then, you know. And so everybody kind of really gets into it. And the Derby is going to be a fantastic Derby this year. Derby Week, Florida Derby, Arkansas Derby, they're all going to be on IEM. You'll be able to watch them. And what I like about it is – you know, who's going to be the horse that jumps in there that nobody thought of? You know, are they going to have another another, dominant field? Are they going to have, a bunch of horses that could win it? And I tell you, depending on the weather, see, we're down into, say, we know pretty much that here in Florida, for the Florida Derby coming up, it's going to be pretty good weather. You know, the chances of having bad weather is slim. But down in New Orleans and Hot Springs, you still have cold weather, rainy weather. You know, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it comes up with good weather. You know, we can get some horses out of there, and it would benefit them, to get some good weather there. But, if they don't get it, then they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And then, going up to Churchill and the Keeneland, that's going to be the tough thing right there, is you don't know what kind of weather you're going to have. Now, when we sent our horse up to Keeneland to run last fall from here in Florida, oh, my God, I tell you, we put blinkers on him for the first time, send him up. We get up to Keeneland, raining, snowing, miserable weather, cold, and he's coming out of, 70 and 80 degree weather, and no rain, no cold, no wind. He gets out there on the track, comes out of the gate, and good gosh, he loved it. He was off and gone. And then we get him back down here to run him, again down here in nice warm weather, good conditions, great conditions. And what happens? He comes out of the gate and he don't want to run. He stayed right in the group, just like, he was one of the guys and just, going right along and just showed no interest in getting going. He just flattened out on us. So, we couldn't figure that out. But like I said, the springtime is here is upon us, and we start thinking about all the different things that we have going on. We have the Live Oak International. We got Devon up in Pennsylvania with a lot of good horse shows up there. We've got the Kentucky Horse Park with 3-day Rolex, in which they have they got a nice museum there. And you can go see that. They got the sales there at Keeneland on April the 30th. Keeneland is open for the springtime. And hopefully it's beautiful weather because all the people dress up and really make a 30-day deal out of it. A lot of people take a lot of time off of vacations just to go to the Keeneland meet and just to do the things that are there in Keeneland, in Lexington, just to do that. That's good. But the Derby week, when it comes up, it's good. And then you got the Preakness coming 2 weeks after the Derby. And then 5 weeks after the Derby, you got the Belmont Stakes. And they're doing a lot of things up at Belmont to make it better and fan-friendly. They're going to have, I don't know how far along they've gotten on it, but they're going to have fans that will be able to go into the infield like they do the Derby and the Preakness. They're going to be able to do that. So, there's so many things, to go see and go do. This is something that I don't like. And I mean, I was strictly totally against it. And I've been going to Churchill, 50 years. And what they did is they remodeled Churchill. I was going to Churchill and taking horses to paddock back in the early 80s when they had the indoor paddock. Then we thought it was terrible, and they had the outdoor paddock, but we got used to it, and it was nice. The fans could get up there and get close. Now this year, they have torn down the old paddocks, and they're revitalizing it, they say. And it's going to be all modern, and it's going to be really good. They're building a hotel there. You can go to ChurchillDowns.com and see what they're doing to it there. But it's going to be different. It's a whole new way. And hopefully they'll be finished with all the remodeling and rebuilding by the first Saturday in May. That'll happen. And then Maryland, they're bringing Maryland up to standards at Pimlico. they're going to make it nice. Yeah, Belmont's totally new. They're going to have people in the infield at Belmont. They put in a couple new tunnels. They're putting in a Tapeta track. They got a new turf course they're putting in, a dirt track. They got a lot of good things there at Belmont. It's going to be like a sports center. They have hockey there on the grounds, professional hockey on the grounds there. They, like I said, they're going to have the infield open up. It's going to be, you know, a good sporting venue, you know, to go there at Belmont. And then, of course, Saratoga is always Saratoga. Everybody loves going there. And it appears, with from all I'm hearing, that New York Racing, NYRA, which they're fantastic. They're horse people. They make it good for the horsemen. You know, it's really good in New York. It's just the doggone weather is not as good as what I would like to have it, you know, be. But what they want to do is they want to close down Aqueduct and Ozone Park, and they want to just have Belmont and Saratoga running year-round. That's what they want to do, have them running year-round. And so I said, you know, that might work. And I said, it wouldn't work at Saratoga because of the weather. So what they were saying is that they would extend the Saratoga meet like maybe by a week and open up a week early. So they would literally get almost 2 months of racing in Saratoga, you know, that type of thing. But Saratoga is so prestigious. You know, I don't know how that would fit with a horse. It might be able to work, you know, that type of thing. And then, of course, you know, everything else is good all across the country, out west. They're building a new harness track in Las Vegas for the harness industry. There's just so many things that are going on, you know, and our business is doing good. I just wish that we could somehow get together and say, okay, guys, here's what you do and what you offer in this time of year. Let's all get our dates coincide so that we can make a circuit, literally just develop a circuit, you know, for the show horses and everybody to go through and all. So, but that's basically what's going on, kind of you know, sitting on the porch talk today. That we had about what all is going on. Next week, like I said, next week, we have the last call update, and we'll have live sales from Keeneland on that day on the show. And then we got opening day at Keeneland, opening day at Churchill. We got all the good things to talk about, 3-day Rolex, Global Champions Tour in Miami, Louisiana, Arkansas Derby, Jeff Luby Stakes, Santa Anita Derby, Bluegrass, and who's coming from Japan. So we'll be looking forward to bringing that show to you next week. And like I said, get out and see some horse stuff. Just Google horses in your zip code, and you'll be surprised if you go just Google horses and put your zip code in there, and you'll see what you have. Like for here, go horses 33446, and it'll tell you any and everything about horses that are in that zip code. So we look forward to next week, and have a good day, a good St. Patrick's Day.